Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, for all you ding-dongs who wanted Dustin Pedroia stricken from the team, banished from the clubhouse, we've been telling you, you get a veteran player who's been with the team all his adult life, you keep him around as long as it makes sense. Even with the future Red Sox Hall of Famer injured, yes, he made a contribution to the biggest margin of victory win all year Wednesday night. He helped who? Michael Chavis, the kid second baseman? Now, Jackie Bradley, who's been looking like he has some sort of palsy lately at the plate? No. He helped Eduardo Rodriguez. Really? Check out the big brain on Petey. We'll explain and break down a curb stomping of the Tigers. We'll do it next on Sox Daily.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
More like it, guys. The Red Sox team we thought we'd see. Not that 9-15 imposter slogging through the muck. Red Sox 11, Tigers 4 in a game for the ages Wednesday night. The ages between 5 and 9. The last two innings, that was some butt-ugly baseball being played. But through the top of the eighth, it was actually a heck of a battle. Matt Barnes pitched out of a bases-loaded jam when the go-ahead man was at the plate for Detroit. The Red Sox then scored 7 in the eighth. Yes, one more in one inning than in 18 innings the day before. Tyler Thornburg did give 3 of those runs back in the ninth, but no matter, 11-4 in a game that felt way more like 2018 than 2019. Let's get to it, and yes, part of the storyline, the admission of Erod, the baffling left-hander, that he had a new grip on his breaking ball that worked him some wonders, and that grip was taught to him by none other than Dustin Pedroia. Sounds like I made that one up, but no. Here is Erod after the game with the guys in the booth, and we'll let them take it from here.
Okay, Joe and Mario here with you. Eddie, congratulations. You really had everything going tonight and a really good changeup, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been working on that slider that you see today. I've been working on that. So I think as I get to the big league, and I feel like finally I got it, and I got to say it. Thanks to Petey, because it's funny because 3 days ago we were sitting on the bench and he told me that, you want to see a nasty breaking ball? And I went like, yeah, bro, show me. I've been battled with that. And he showed me how to throw it. 2 days ago and I started throwing it and I finally got one.
Hey, Eddie, how about the second inning tonight? The Red Sox scored a couple of early runs. They came on very aggressive offensively. How important is that for a pitcher to get some early runs to work with to kind of settle in to a groove because it seemed to do wonders for you?
I mean, that's something that I've been trying to do since I got to the big leagues, and I've been learning from the rest of the starters here. Like, every time your team scores runs, you got to go out there and try to get 3 quick outs and get back to the dugout, you know what I mean?
Well, when you had your great start, the start before last, you threw all fastballs in the first inning. This time you mixed it up and started to throw harder later, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it depends like who I'm facing and how they look at when I throw, you know what I mean? And I was having everything working today, so why not use it, you know what I mean?
Eddie, Alex said during spring training that he wants you to go deeper into games, and you were able to get through 6 innings in this ball game tonight. Really the only trouble you had, the 5th inning with 2 on, but you got a couple of big punch-outs. Then the 6th inning, the first 2 men reached, but you allowed just the 1 run, limiting the damage. So it looks like you've taken a step in that regard as well.
Yeah, that's something that I'm looking to do since I got here, and finally got an opportunity to do it, and I just want to keep doing it.
Well, Eddie, it's really something when the Pedro Martinez instructs you, isn't it, that you listen?
I mean, always. Every time he's here, I going around hand, you know what I mean? Like, even if they tell the everybody come, hey, that's your daddy here, it's your daddy here. And I tell them, yeah, it's my daddy. I gotta go everywhere he go. You know what I mean? Try to learn everything. Little teams, big teams, I try to learn everything. Every time I go to bullpen and he's here, I text him in the morning, hey, I gotta throw a bullpen today, and he say what time you're gonna throw, and I tell the time and he's here. He show on time. Every time he's here, I gotta get something. You know what I mean? A Hall of Famer, really nice pitcher, really good pitcher, and what a big guy to learn from, you know what I mean?
Indeed, what a great mentor. Mm-hmm. Eddie, great to see you doing so well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So back to Pedroia. This is the kind of thing I saw up close with David Wright with the Mets. Saw it with Cal Ripken a generation ago in Baltimore, matter of fact. Old horse knows the way, so saith the Cherokee. Supposedly. I have no connection myself to Cherokee Nation, but I get that saying. You're around enough, you learn some things. And guys like Wright, Ripken, Pedroia, organizational lifers, they step up and they step out and help the whole team get better, one guy at a time, sometimes way off the grid, sometimes when they're parked on the injured list. Digging into the Wednesday night game at Fenway, the calm before the storm as the B's and C's get ready for their next playoff rounds. The Red Sox needed a game like this. They really did. I mean, we needed to hear Dirty Water, because here it is almost May, and that anthem has rung out all of four times. The Red Sox are now 4-5 at home, but with seven more home games in a row coming up and a chance to strike up the Standells quite often. Night before Wednesday, you might remember, game two of the doubleheader, the Sox were 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. This would not be a problem Wednesday night. In fact, they didn't really even need to hit with runners in scoring position. They just needed to take, because Drew Verhagen could not throw strikes at all. I think Verhagen is Dutch for no idea where the strike zone is. 16 pitches, 4 strikes, 3 bases loaded, walks. So in came Buck Farmer, because Tank Ranch Hand wasn't available, or Rip Lumberjack. Buck Farmer came in, and he wasn't that great either. And by the time it was over, 7 in the bottom of the 8th for Boston, and the Tigers did get 3 back in the 9th. 11 runs, 12 hits, no errors for the Sox. 4-6-0 for the Tigers, as the Sox are now 10-15. Each member of the Red Sox starting lineup reached base multiple times. Everybody combining for 10 walks, it's a season high, 5 of them in that would-not-end 8th inning. And the Red Sox now, 10-5 when they allow 6 runs or fewer. And this would be one of those nights. In their 10 games since, April 14th, the starters now, a 3.16 ERA. That is second in the American League in that time. And the bullpen, my goodness, the bullpen. Brandon Workman struck out the side. Matt Barnes struck out the side. More on that in just a little bit. But this was the 5th Red Sox game in the last 100 years in which multiple Sox relievers struck out 3 in an inning or less than that. That's pretty rare, obviously. Pretty cool. 14 Tigers struck out in all. It's a single-game season high for Boston right now. And now you're looking at 11 or more strikeouts 5 games straight. That ties a franchise record. Brandon Workman, we mentioned, great work. He's held opponents scoreless in 11 out of 12 appearances this year. He had one little wonky effort there in Tampa Bay, but that's it. 2 hits in 41 batters faced this year. Take that all year long. And now Matt Barnes. Good gravy. Matt Barnes, who struck out 22 of the 43 batters he's faced, and he's allowed just 3 walks now. 51% of batters faced have struck out against Barnes. 2 or more strikeouts in his last 11 relief outings in a row, dating back to last year. Got to go back to Calvin Schiraldi in the 80s for a run like that. 2nd pitcher to start a season with 2 or more strikeouts in each of his first 10 relief outings ever. Rorick Harrison of the 1973 Braves, only other guy to do it. He ended at 10, so we'll see if Matt Barnes can keep it up. As for the hitters, I'm sure you're very eager to hear how 11 runs came to pass. It was on 12 hits in this game. Got a little eager there. J.D. Martinez did have 3 of them, season high. Drove in his 12th run of the year. He now leads the Red Sox with 32 hits. He had a weird double in this game, a ball that lodged in one of the nooks and or crannies. Had to be kicked out by one of the umpires, and it was kind of a weird, uncomfortable moment, but okay. Part of a 3-hit game, .344 batting average now for J.D. This is after, by the way, a 1-for-8, 4-strikeout doubleheader the night before. He's hit safely in 23 of the Sox first 25 games, and we're tracking this back to 1908. the only other Red Sox to do that, hit safely in 23 of 25. Shea Hillenbrand did it in 01, and it happened once in the 60s as well, but that's it. So major props, as the kids used to say, to J.D. Martinez. Mookie Betts, too. Well, let's give Mookie some love here, because all of a sudden, Mookie's getting on base a lot. It was 2-for-4 in this game with a double and a walk. He had a 397-foot double, as a matter of fact, off the Green Monster. And I know his OPS still isn't even 800. It is sixth best on the team. Remember, it was second best in baseball last year. But that is 5 doubles, 9 extra base hits now, 3 runs batted in his last 3 games, and the doubles just keep on coming. He leads the majors by a ton since the start of 2015. He's got 182 doubles. Nobody else has 165. Nick Markakis is his closest. But he's been on base now 15 of his last 28 plate appearances, so I would say that Mookie is Mookie again, or at least getting there. Rafael Devers is doing this thing now that I don't know if everybody's noticing. He's walking a lot. He's up to 12 of those. That's a pace for 76 now. That would exactly double what he did last year. His on-base percentage currently 365, and that will play. Jackie Bradley Jr., it's coming. It's coming along. 2-for-5 game. Actually barreled up a couple of balls. He was Jackie Bradley Jr.'d by Jacoby Jones. He looked like he had another double in this game, but was robbed by the other center fielder. Michael Chavis on base 4 times, even though he didn't have a hit. He had 3 walks and an HBP, stole his first ever base. He continues to be a burgeoning fan favorite now. And Christian Vasquez, where has this been? Another run batted in. As a matter of fact, 2 runs batted in this game. He's got 13 now in 20 games this year. That is almost last year's total in a quarter of the games played. And this actually ties a Red Sox record for runs batted in by a catcher before May. 4 other Red Sox catchers have driven in 13 before May. A.J. Pierzynski last to do it in 2014. And don't get on me. I know that the season began in March this year, so there's more to it this year. There's more volume, but it's not like Vasquez has caught every game. And A.J. Pierzynski in 14 was doing the preponderance of catching. Veritek, obviously, years and years before that. Andrew Benintendi, he's been on base 16 of his last 17 games now. It's all coming together. See, Alex Cora talking about that after the game, talking about his starter first and foremost, Mr. Rodriguez.
Outstanding. Outstanding. His last 3. Stuff-wise, really good. In command of the situation, getting people out in the strike zone, mixing up his pitches, location. He's been good for us.
You're saying that really haven't had kind of one of those one-sided games, and it really wasn't until you added on the 8th, but just to be able to get a couple of guys off their feet in the 9th and not have to worry about a close finish. How good did that feel?
No, it feels great. Like I said earlier today, you know, the line is moving. It's been moving since Tampa offensively. You know, we're walking more, we're controlling the zone. It's just a matter of, you know, getting that big hit. And today, you know, we grinded, but, you know, you could see, you know, everybody got on base more than once, I think it was. We walked 10 times. We put good at-bats, and you know, it's good to see Jackie today, you know, putting good swings on it. And from top to bottom, it was a good effort.
Eduardo's pitching like
he
is today. Is he as good as any of your
prospects? I mean, he's good. You know, we know the stuff. Everybody knows it. Velocity, location, the changeup. He actually threw a lot of sliders early in the game. You know, he's in command, and yeah, you guys know I'm hard on him, but everybody is, because we know how good he can be, and it's good to see him compete at this level this way, you know, and we expect him to do that every time he goes out there, go deep into games and dominate.
Close to the 5th inning, he hasn't given up any hits. Not that you're expecting him to do that, but he was making it look pretty easy there.
Yeah, I mean, and if you go back to the first 2 games, it was a few at-bats, and we all remember the at-bats. That's you know, the bruise and the home run in Oakland. It's just a few pitches that it's about managing the game, and he's doing a good job with it now.
What's the impact?
Mookie's first 2 at-bats, he took pretty good pitches, ball behind the line, and then two called for three strikes. Third at bat, a little more aggressive approach, swinging at a good pitch versus that more of what you want to see that aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a pitch that he feels he can handle, you know, with Ross, you know, this is the first time we see him going cutter slider. Used to be sinker, so sometimes you just gain information. But you know, after the second at bat, he felt comfortable with him, and was able to pick up spin and the ball, and he put a good swing on it. And you know, it seems like, you know, those two are starting to get hot at the same time, which, you know, last year I don't think it happened. You know, the three of them at the same time getting hot. You know, Benny, Mookie, and JD. It was most of the year was two. So it's cool to see the three swinging the bat well, and let's see where it takes us.
How much do you think the sliders added to Eddie's arsenal?
It's another pitch. You know, last year was a two pitch mix, staying away from the slider. But he actually started working on it when he got hurt last year, and started working with Chris and work on it in the off season during spring training, and today he was able to throw it. You know, that's a right-handed dominant lineup, and everybody's looking for the fastball and the changeup in the outside part of the plate, and for him to be able to expand the zone down and into righties, it was a good pitch for him tonight.
All right, so that's the skipper, and now we look forward. We look to the finale of the series Thursday night at Fenway. You know, the Red Sox are 10-10 when Chris Sale does not start. That's bizarre. Rick Porcello, though, has not won yet, and he will be on the mound. Rick Porcello, now beardless. We'll see if that helps. He has shaved off the beard. You won't recognize him when he takes the mound. And when it says he's got a whip of 2.5, I don't think you'll recognize that either. If he loses this game, he'd be 0-4. Remember, he was 22-4 just 3 years ago on the way to the Cy Young. ZRA right now, not very Cy Young-ish, 8.47. His mound opponent, also struggling, Jordan Zimmermann. He, just like Porcello, 0-3. This is a guy who's got 94 career wins, 3.85 ERA. He's better than this. He's only struck out 19 batters in 28 innings. So it's the old something's got to give. 7-10 first pitch. You can hear it, of course, on WEEI. Anybody who's heard some weird stuff in the background, if you've been listening real close, recording this with a dachshund on my lap. That is not a euphemism for anything. I'm not being gross. I'm not being pervy. There's literally a dog on my lap, and I'm trying to keep him quiet. I think a couple times you might have heard a little whimper. You might have even heard a squeaky toy at some point. But Shmuley, good job, buddy. That's most of the podcast done, and you were about 80% a good boy. So I will give you, again, as the kids used to say, mad props. All right, dachshund going off my lap, podcast ending. Music comes up. This has been Sox Daily.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.